If Hugh Hefner had been a bit more like Walt Disney, maybe he would have invented the House of Holes, the world's first sexual theme park. Or maybe not. Maybe it takes a novelist to dream up something that inventive. Nicholson Baker leaves very little to the imagination in his new novel House of Holes, a book of raunch. And yes, it really is set in a sexual theme park. And he's not kidding about that subtitle. Here's Baker with an excerpt.
When she got back, her roommate Rianne was there. Rianne's lips were very red. She'd been sampling the new lipsticks, probably, and she was holding on to Dave's arm. The hand end was in her shirt, obviously doing something tender with one of her breasts. Rianne hurriedly drew him out. There was a pad of paper, lots of hasty writing scrawled on it next to where she was lounging on her bed. "So, you've discovered my arm," Shandy said with an edge. Rianne nodded. "He has a lovely touch." "That he does," Shandy agreed. Rianne said that she'd found out quite a bit about the arm and where it came from. "It belongs to someone named Dave," she said. "I knew that," Shandy snapped. "He went to a place called the House of Holes," said Rianne. "There Dave had requested a larger, thicker penis. Apparently you can do that, but at a price. The director, this woman named Lila, said to him, 'Would you be willing to give your right arm for a larger penis?' Dave said no at first because his right arm was necessary for his work. But Lila said it was only temporary, only till someone found the arm and took it back and stuck it on him. Dave said, 'Oh, if it's temporary, sure.' So he underwent a voluntary amputation right near the elbow, and his arm had the self-contained life support pack grafted on." "You sure did find out a lot," said Shandy. "I must say his touch is extremely sensitive," Rianne went on. She threw herself back on the bed and laid the arm on her chest. Shandy watched the hand push aside the sides of Rianne's shirt and find her breast again. "Hmm," said Shandy. "I don't know about this. I found him, not you." She felt finger snappings of jealousy. Rianne's lips parted. "Oh, my gosh, his fingers know what to do," she said, flushing. The hand was gently rolling her nipple like a tender round pea. And then it suddenly surrounded her whole breast and shook it once. After that, it turned and began crawling over her belly toward her pajama pants. "Are you just going to let that happen?" Shandy said, riveted. Yes, she said. "Could you dim the light?" Shandy turned off the overhead light and watched the arm undo the knot of Rianne's pajama bottoms. It disappeared. Rianne went, "Whew." Shandy turned away. "He's found it," Rianne said, "and boy, he's got the touch of a master."
This is near the very beginning of the book. This is kind of an introductory passage for readers of House of Holes, but it's a pretty good way to start.
Well, it's a book that has all kinds of strange things happening, and they all seem to lead in the same direction, which is cheerful sexual bliss.
I guess that's what I was hearing in your reading as you went along. You're smiling as you write this, and I suppose for a variety of reasons.
Well, here's the thing about theme parks and places, special places you go. When you get on the subject of sex, often they start to get dark. You know, you get a dungeony kind of thing happening, strange leather things with rivets in them and all that. I like to go places where people laugh and where their thrill rides and they're genuinely thrilled in a laughing kind of way. And I think that's the part of sex maybe that we leave behind. We think we're doing something dirty when we do the dungeony kind of thing, but really we're just getting distracted.
Well, one of the things I noticed as I read through House of Holes is that there does seem to be participation. So much of what you know about pornography is that somebody gets hurt or somebody's doing something they don't want to do. That seems to be not part of the theme park that you've created at all.
Well, it's a voluntary place. Of course, you get sucked into the House of Holes. You seem to be chosen. So people are sucked down their drinking straw or their... And they're pulled into the hole in a golf course, or they fall into someone's purse. That was one of my favorite ones, where this guy's just saying, what have you got in that lovely little purse there? And he leans and looks in it, and the woman holds it open for him, and suddenly, whoosh, she's looking at her driver's license. But somehow you get chosen, and you're pulled in, and then you meet the director named Lila, who figures out what you really want. Maybe something that you don't even know you want.
Which is the opportunity to lead you in all kinds of different directions. I guess I want to know where you started. What was it about the idea of a theme park in the first place that made you think it was a good lens to explore sexuality?
Maybe it started way back watching Yellow Submarines when they have the holes there where Ringo's head suddenly pops out and Paul and George and the video game Portal. There's a nice feeling that is somehow connected with, I think, with sexual arousal, where you go into a different universe, a hormonal universe. The normal rules don't apply. Things shift, body parts, people are moving. You start in the middle of things, you jump around. Chronology isn't intact. It's a fun house. It's a house, and it's fun. It's not dark. It's really great, but it isn't going to follow the normal rules of physics.
And because so many of the things that are written and filmed about sex are so bad in a variety of ways, I had the clear impression that you were enjoying this, but that you also wanted to put it apart from the bad thing. In fact, maybe I'm off base here, but I thought your creation of the porn sucker ships might be an example of that.
Yes. Well, the porn sucker ships, at one point, a couple is up on a crag in the House of Holes, way up high on a chemical crag. And the woman is absorbed by looking at these mountain zebras. And the man says, oh, my God, there is an AR-35 porn sucker ship. That's a porn sucker. You can see by the red tips of its wings. And what these ships do is go around piloted by various people, including this kind of smoky southern guy named Dune, piloted, and they suck up the bad porn from cities. So Dune had to suck up all the bad porn from Providence. But then once you've sucked it up and put it in the porn sucker ship, what do you do with it? So they have this problem with the House of Holes. One of its problems is it has an enormous secret underground cavern or tank, vat, of terrible porn, and things happen there.
There is, in your mind, bad porn. You make a distinction between good porn and bad porn.
Well, I think we're all experts on it now, so we all know that that's true. Of course there is. There's stuff that's just deeply disturbing, strange, unpleasant. But the basic thing is, on the internet, of course, there's a lot of video porn, and you can go to the movies and see things that are startlingly explicit in some ways. And why don't they work? That's the question. Say a movie like Friends with Benefits has a tremendous amount of nudity, and Justin Timberlake is very fit, and the woman is pretty, and it should work, but they're naked. And here's the interesting thing, is nakedness and comedy don't really work very well together in a visual medium. And what I find is that the only way you can laugh and be sexually aroused at the same time is when you're reading a book. Because nakedness is so overwhelming to the brain's sexuo-visual sense that your sense of humor just goes out the window.
You actually are something of an expert on this. This is the third book you've written that has a sexual element to it anyway. There's a book called Vox that was about phone sex, and another later, The Fermata. You got some criticism for The Fermata, I think, because the character stopped time and used it to undress women.
Right, yes. And people said, have you actually done that? You know, I mean, is this something that you've done? It is a darker or more impermissible a book that explores forbidden territory, I guess. It was really just an adolescent 13-year-old fantasy of mine that I turned into a novel because it seemed like the right thing to do at the time, yeah. 1994.
Well, this one, if you'll forgive me, it shows some signs of the same thing, only here you're still enjoying the subject, but you also clearly want this to have some literary value. House of Holes isn't just one sexual vignette tacked on top of another, is it?
Literary value is one of those elusive things. I want the book to be about life and to be a sort of a document that makes a case for why life is a good thing and also why things are funny. I want the book to be entertaining. I'm, I guess, a literary kind of writer, so I like the conversation to be surprising. I don't think you always have to go in a certain direction relentlessly. You can stop. One of the things that I was happy about, I had a whole scene in the grown rooms. The grown rooms were these places where people go and it's dark and you wear these glowing wrist bracelets and you're not allowed to say anything. All you can do is groan. I was kind of pleased with this idea, and I had a whole scene in there. But then I had a kind of flirtation between two people who meet in a store, and they end up just putting on the wrist bracelets. And she says, shh, you can't talk. Remember, it's the grown rooms. Let's go in. And then they stop. So sometimes you don't have to have a consummation. You can lead up to the doorway and stop. I don't know. Maybe that's what makes it literature.
Now, I know that at least in the world that obeys the laws of physics, I understand you can't look into someone's purse and disappear. Could you imagine a sexual theme park like House of Holes as a reality in our world that obeys our laws of physics?
You can imagine it. It's much better, I think, nicer, more fun to imagine it in your mind than the reality, in the same way that when you see a movie, there are freckles and people's nakedness that is a sort of insistent kind of nakedness. There are lots of things that we think about sexually, really extreme things, that we would never, at least I'm a kind of mild-mannered guy, we would never ever do them. But we entertain them. This is a theme park that you probably should never visit in reality, but that you can visit a chapter at a time within the covers of a book.
Do you think the world has had that same kind of reaction? I don't know what reaction has been. I've read a couple of reviews of House of Holes. Were you surprised at the way it was received?
Not too surprised. I think that it strikes people different ways. There was sort of one kind of review that worked as porn, but it's a terrible novel.
Well, and there was one review that I read that actually, not really a review so much as a personality piece about you, and it was titled The Mad Scientist of Smut, which is a curious title because it was pretty clear that he liked the book, and he likes you.
Well, I liked the title. See, if they'd said The Mad Scientist of Porn, there would be no alliteration. The Mad Scientist of Smut conveys what's going on here, which is it's not your everyday, ordinary sex book. Things happen here that don't normally go on. So I was thrilled by the title. I was even more thrilled by the piece about me because, look, there's three books that are very, very explicit, and then 10 books that are about all sorts of other things. I mean, there's a book about library history in there. There's a book about the beginnings of World War II. Why is that? That's because sex is terribly interesting, but all kinds of other parts of life are terribly interesting, too. Sometimes you're in the mood to think about and feel pained about the beginnings of World War II. Sometimes you're in the mood to just be out there and just be bodies doing things. And it's a response on my part to the insane-making variety of possibilities that life offers.
Nicholson Baker is the author of House of Holes, a book of raunch.